Her Last Move by John Mars, performed by Elizabeth Nolden. He craned his neck to look inside the tunnel's pitch-black entrance. He wasn't sure what he expected to see in the dark, but he narrowed his eyes regardless. Next, he turned his head to look around the tube station platform. Floor-to-ceiling rectangular posters pasted onto the arched walls advertised exotic holidays on white sandy beaches. Another offered mattresses that promised to give him the best sleep of his life. He was so high on adrenaline that sleep was the last thing on his mind. The clock on the overhead gantry told him the next tube would arrive in 4 minutes. It felt like a long time to be in an enclosed space, especially one that was crammed with so many people and so deep underground. His mouth was already parched and his skin began to prickle, so he put into practice the lessons he'd learned in the meditation classes he'd taken at a mindfulness centre in North London. The 6-week course had cost him a small fortune, but it helped to prevent his muddled brain from thinking about everything at once and focus on the detail instead. It had also given him the tools to keep a lid on the pressure cooker of anger that was always so close to boiling over. Hidden inside the binding strapped to his chest, his right hand was becoming numb. He wanted to remove it and stretch his fingers. It was unlikely anyone would notice what he was concealing. There were too many commuters minding their own business. But he had come this far without taking any unnecessary risks. He wasn't about to start taking them now. According to Transport for London's website, engineers were working on routine track maintenance further along the district line. As a result, there were fewer trains, but the same number of passengers, making platforms busier than usual. He estimated commuters were 5 deep and spread out all the way along the platform. He'd overheard staff asking their ground-level colleagues through walkie-talkies to limit the numbers entering until the next tube arrived and carried away those already queuing. He would use the crowds to his advantage. Glancing from side to side and satisfied he'd successfully blended in, his eyes returned to the man in front of him, the one he had followed from his house that afternoon. He was standing so near to Stefan Dumitru that he could feel the heat radiating from the man's sizable body. They had been in close proximity many times over the past few months, but never like this. Not even when he'd been inside Dumitru's home.